Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio, in cooperation with Scout.com, WarNest.com, and Frat House Sports, this is Inside the War Nest, the show made by Philadelphia Eagles fans for Philadelphia Eagles fans. Have a comment or question? Call us live on the air, 347-826-9964. That's 347-826-9964. And now, to take you through the week that was and the week to come in Eagles football, here are your armchair generals, Jim Williams and Mike McShane, inside the War Nest.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Inside the War Nest, presented by Frat House Sports, WarNest.com, Scout.com, and every other site on the internet. I'm Jim Williams, so glad to be with you this week. So glad to be with you every week we do Inside the War Nest. And in just a moment, I'll be joined by my partner in crime, the esteemed Michael J. McShane, Esquire, something or other, to talk about the week that was and the week that will be. And it's a shame we really don't have much to talk about when you get right down to it. I mean, the Eagles, they won their game against Houston 31-21. Nothing big happened. Nothing at all. And if you believe that, I have some swamp land available for sale. We lose our starting quarterback. Our backup, Mark Sanchez, comes in and performs more than admirably. And then, not long after Foles is knocked out of commission, we learn that there may have been a having out of sorts within the organization, that they had lost faith in Nick Foles. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. Another person went down in the game, DeMeco Ryans, arguably the foundation, let's say, of this Philadelphia defense. A defense that it has been Jekyll and Hyde a little bit at times this season. I'd say the front seven have done very well, while the secondary leaves something to be desired every week. They get blown. They give up that one big play on a regular basis. We'll talk about that a little bit. Also on the show this week, we're going to give out a report card of sorts. We're going to grade the Philadelphia Eagles through various dimensions. We'll talk about how they do on offense, how they do on defense. I give you a little heads up on my thoughts on defense. Special teams, who, in my opinion, are the unsung heroes of this team through the halfway point of the season. Coaching, and an overall grade at the midterm, as it were. Also, we'll look ahead to Carolina. We were going to try to have a guest on from Scout.com's Carolina Panthers website. They were unable to join us. There was a scheduling conflict, but they wanted to be on the show, couldn't be on the show. So our apologies there. But we do have a little behind enemy lines information from the folks in Carolina that you'll be able to access on WarNest.com later this week. And we'll give some predictions for the Monday Nighter to come. That's a full show for you here, but it's not truly a full show until you get involved. You're more than welcome to join the conversation right here, right now. 347-826-9964 to talk Eagles, ask questions, give us comments, give us your report card for the Eagles. How would you grade the Philadelphia Eagles? The number again, 347-826-9964. You can click the Skype button on our show page. You can also log on to our chat room. Brandon Hain from Frat House Sports is there. He's keeping everybody in line. Or at least he's trying to keep himself in line. I'm not sure how that works. No, Jen is actually keeping him in line, if I'm not mistaken. And I mentioned Jen because her father is here, the esteemed Mike McShane. Michael, good evening.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I had a little difficulty jumping in there this evening.
Technology.
But we worked it out. We worked it out there.
We got this. We got this.
But boy, you sound terrific and ready to go after the travails that you have been through this week, huh?
Yeah, last Friday I had 3 wisdom teeth pulled. 30 years old getting wisdom teeth pulled. I was a little worried, a little nervous about the whole a kit and caboodle, but we got it done. We got her done, and minimal pain, minimal side effects, and I actually had an announcing assignment at Cumberland County College last night where I talked more than I would over the course of a doubleheader in a scrimmage because I did running commentary. It went well.
Wow.
So, all is right with the world on my end. My voice is my instrument. I don't have much, and I don't offer much in this world, but my voice is about it.
Outstanding.
So,
well, you know,
so we're doing well.
You know, I kind of empathized with, you know, your concerns. You had not gone through that before. I've gone through it quite a few times, and
right.
I knew you'd get through just fine.
Thank you. And besides, we had nobody else to do backup for me on this show.
I was a little worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be you and the soundboard, and that's a scary proposition.
Right.
Aside from the Saturday show, Brad Howe Saturday's a different beast. You got to listen to that here website.
I would constantly be doing this.
Why can't we just get in the running car?
Yeah, that's what I would be doing.
Oh, no, that's right, because you can sign into the host. Now, you can play sounds. Well, I added one, and I'll explain why I added one.
Oh, no problem. I look
a little
forward
bit later on.
Let's
get into it. Again, join the chat. Call us at any time with a question or comment, 347-826-9964, or click the Skype button. Let's get into it. Eagles beat the Houston Texans 31-21 on Sunday, and as I mentioned, it was a win with a couple of losses. Things were looking good early on. Nick Foles throws a bomb to Jeremy Maclin, and we're off to the races again. You know, 59-yard reception for a touchdown, and then Nick Foles with a horrible interception, throwing off his back foot, and then that oh no moment when Foles goes down and Mark Sanchez comes in. And as you read after the fact over the last couple of days, Mike, this may have been in the works prior to the injury that occurred Sunday. And we'll talk about that article in a second. But Mark Sanchez comes in, and he does a more than capable job at quarterback, guiding them. He throws the deep ball a lot better than Nick Foles did. And this is a guy who had limited reps, you know, as the backup in practice. The obvious first question I have to ask you, Mike, can Mark Sanchez keep this up-tempo offense going? Is this a scheme that will work to his favor?
The first thing that I noticed when he came – well, there's a couple of things I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I noticed about myself was I looked at it and I said, oh, wow, Nick Foles is going out. Well, I guess Mark Sanchez is coming in. Okay. I really wasn't all that worried about it. And, you know, the interesting thing, Jim, and, you know, keep throwing that phone number out tonight because I want to hear from some Eagles fans. I'm going to tell you right now, the sense I get is that the vast majority of Eagles fans are not concerned about this. They do not view this as a setback. Many are viewing it as a positive, as a plus. And then the second thing that I noticed as soon as Mark Sanchez took over, and I even commented, like, within the first or second little screen pass that he threw. You know, he does that little two-step drop, boom, and the ball is released. I said, you know something? Mark Sanchez has got a much quicker release point than Nick Foles does. It takes Nick Foles much longer to get going. You know, there's this prodding sort of thing, and the defenses can read it. Mark Sanchez has got that quick release. Yeah, I think he can keep it up. You know, we all know what Mark Sanchez is. Mark Sanchez is a turnover machine. He's played in, 68 games, I believe, or 64 games. He's had 70 interceptions and 17 fumbles. So for 71 interceptions and 17 fumbles. So
one of them being a butt fumble.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I have to bring that up. Sorry.
For every touchdown he throws, he's going to throw himself 1.1 interception, and that we know. So the bottom line is this.
Mm-hmm.
If we go into any game that he starts, know this. For every touchdown he throws, he's probably going to throw an interception, and you can expect to see at least one interception a game. That's what the career stats would indicate.
And if the career stats are indicative of that, really, that is a lateral move compared to what we've seen from Nick Foles this season, because he was almost on that same trajectory. He'll throw about as many touchdowns as he does interceptions, especially this year. 2013 more and more is looking like that outlier year, that career year that he has that he cannot duplicate.
Right.
And now the question becomes, this injury, this fractured clavicle, as Dr. McShane, MD, told me about earlier, this could have him sidelined anywhere from, depending on who you hear, 4 to 8 weeks. Let's say he's healthy come week 15, week 16, yeah. week 17 of the NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
Do they roll the dice and keep Sanchez as the starting quarterback if the team is still very much in the division race? Is it a starting job to lose, or do we have ourselves a quarterback controversy, do you think?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're getting at, and it's an interesting thing because, you know, here at the Frat House, and you know this, Jim, here at the Frat House, I'm the Eagles guy.
Yes.
You know, we've got our Tuesday night Frat House Sports Radio program. We got Inside the Red Zone, and that's myself and Brandon. Brandon is the New England Patriots guy. And we got into this conversation last night. And here's what I found what was interesting about the reaction from both Brandon and I uniquely. As an Eagles fan, I look at it more that I've got a lot more question marks. I'm a little more apprehensive. I'm a little more nervous. Brandon looks at it and he goes, well, you know, your team's doing awful darn well. What are you worried about? And it's very interesting because when you get inside the mentality of that Eagles fan, I really believe that the vast majority of Eagles fans replicate myself and probably yourself, where we're much more skeptical, we're much more apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
We got into this whole conversation a little bit last evening, Brandon and I did, over this whole situation of, all right, look, we've got 8 games left, and it's been left out there. Nick Foles is out for 6 to 8 weeks. All right, let's look at the worst-case scenario. It's 8 weeks. Now, that means that Mark Sanchez is taking us through to the end, very last game of the season, which is that December 28th game against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
In those 8 games, he goes 5-3, and the Eagles end up at 11 and 5, okay?
That's common core, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, thank you,
right?
Mike used to be a teacher.
Not big on the common core.
Yeah, the simple math, displayed there, is much more effective, as you can see. But no, if he takes the team to 11-5, the question becomes then we're going to open up in the playoffs, and of course, I guess it would depend on whether we get the first round bye or not. But nonetheless, the question still remains: who do you go to? Do you go back to Nick Foles, or do you go with the hot hand? And it would seem to me, you got to stick with the hot hand. I'm going to turn the table on you, Jim, because that was a question I actually wanted to throw at you this evening and see what you thought as well. I don't want to be the only Eagles fan weighing in on this one, because it seems to me if you got 8 games and Nick Foles went 6-2, you're going to have 6 games. Let's say Mark Sanchez goes 5-3. Well, if you look at it, you would go, okay, well, wait a minute. If you just do a apples-to-apples comparison, you should go back to Nick Foles. Yeah, but who's got the hot hand at the end of the season? Do you want Nick Foles coming in and taking us through the playoffs, through a crucial first game in the playoffs where he hasn't been on the field in 8 weeks? I don't.
Yeah, that's the quandary. That's the conundrum, exactly. You look at these 8 games coming up, and you've got some prime opponents. Green Bay is going to be tough. Dallas is going to be tough. I don't care what you say, Seattle's going to be tough.
You got bracketed by 2 games with the Cowboys.
Well, exactly. The Turkey Day and the week after. If I wouldn't even look at the final 2 games of the season. I look at these first 6 games. If Sanchez is 4-2 after those games, he's the quarterback. He's no question he's going to be the quarterback heading into the playoffs. It's all contingent upon his performance and what he brings to the table. This is his tryout. I'm not willing to say that it's going to be his team permanently, but at least for this season, it's his team to lose. And I think the key isn't even so much Mark Sanchez. I really don't think so. I think it's the running game. And I bring that up because, and we talked about this during the game, I told you on Instant Messenger on Facebook,
yep.
Bullet point one specific drive that I'm going to mention.
Mm-hmm.
It was in, I believe, in the third quarter. Four plays, 59 yards running, and it had McCoy and Chris Polk teaming up. Chris Polk has now become, in that one game against Houston, a viable third back in this offense. We've got a three-headed monster, and it's the good kind. This running game, I think that's going to be the calling card for this Philadelphia Eagles team going forward. It takes less, it puts rather less of a strain, less pressure on Sanchez so he can get his mechanics and get used to this offense. Don't you think they're going to rely heavily on the run the next couple of weeks?
Well, and in fact, I was listening to Ron Jaworski again this evening over on one of the other Philadelphia radio stations. He said the exact same thing, that if the Eagles come out, particularly in the first couple of games. Now, look, a little bit of a baptism of fire for a veteran guy like Mark Sanchez. He's thrown into the game last week. And we all sat back and we said, well, okay, he performed fairly well. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. Okay, all right, we can live with that.
And to be fair, my opinion, one of the interceptions was not on him at all. It was on Huff.
Agreed. So. But we're not going to tolerate that every single week. I'm going to tell you right now, the fan base is not going to tolerate that. That is unless they're winning.
Right.
And somehow or another, this team continues to win despite having turnovers. I mean, we had four on Sunday.
Yeah, jump in on that. What gives in that department?
It's the craziest thing that occasionally you come across teams like this. I think we've seen other Philadelphia Eagles teams, but none in a long, long time, that can do this week after week after week, be able to turn the ball over at the rate that they are, and yet still win games. I think it goes to the one thing that the Eagles fans have been dying for this season, which we haven't seen, Jim, and that's a blowout. We have not seen the Eagles come out and really blow anybody out of the water.
Save for the Giants.
I was going to say, maybe with the exception of the Giants game, where they came out and it was evident that they had control of that game almost from the very first whistle.
But it was over for the third quarter. Yeah,
we really haven't seen that type of a dominant performance. And I think the turnovers keep teams hanging around. They keep them hanging around. But I'm going to tell you, as you point out, you take a look at the next six games that we got. Do we really want to keep somebody like the Packers hanging around? Somebody like the Seahawks hanging around? Or the Cowboys hanging around? Do we want to keep them? I don't think so. You don't want to do that. So the running game is what Jaworski was saying this evening. Get ready. You know, if you don't have Chris Polk on your fantasy team, maybe you want to think about it. Because he might just be playing a larger role. Although, I'm going to tell you, I don't see him as being, that's just my personal opinion. I don't see him being any kind of marquee running back. That's just
he would make, for fantasy purposes, a fine flex play, potentially.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have a little extra ammunition in the gun chamber, as it were, and he provides that to an offense that, by and large, they've scored 30 or more points, they win the football game. That's happened every time they've scored 30 or more this year, and it goes back to the tempo offense. And again, I think it comes down to the running game. As Shady gets back in the zone, and he has the last couple of weeks, and he faces a Carolina defense that, when we talk about Carolina a little bit later on, is one guy. It's not unlike Houston.
Yep.
It's one guy, and that's about it. That guy isn't playing well, open the floodgates. And Darren Sproles as well, he's another week healthier, continues his productivity. I think the running game's going to be leaned on more. It won't ever be close to 50-50, but I think it'll be 60-40 pass this week going forward, maybe for another week or two, as they face some of the top teams in other divisions, and again back in our division with the Giants come Thanksgiving Day. You weigh in, by all means, ladies and gentlemen. We enjoy having a dialogue, but we enjoy even more having a dialogue with you. 347-826-9964. Area code 347-826-9964. Talk about Mark Sanchez and this Eagles offense. Do you think he can make the grade? Do you think he has what it takes to keep Philadelphia on their winning ways, keep them on track to win the NFC East, which right now they're poised to do. They're in first place by half a game. 347-826-9964. Comment in the chat room if you so desire. And by all means, we'll put you on. Really, we will. We're that
love
kind
to.
Of show. We'd love to.
Love to. You know, you brought up the Eagles. They score 30 points, they win the game. Excuse me. One of the stats that's overlooked. The Philadelphia Eagles lead the NFC in total number of touchdowns and in point differential right now at a plus 57. They lead the entire NFC in that category. So this is, we go to it and we talk about it, and, we have wrung our hands this whole season over, well, what's wrong with LeSean McCoy? And, boy, well, suddenly he's up to fourth on the rushing list. Mind you, he's still 500 yards behind DeMarco Murray. But he's now at least reached into the top five running backs in the entire league. So a couple of good weeks can do that for you. Jeremy Maclin suddenly is, number three, in receiving, maybe number four in receiving.
Reigning NFC Conference Offensive Player of the Week, by the way,
yeah,
Jeremy Maclin.
Exactly. So, you've got four solid weeks out of Jeremy Maclin. After the first couple were a little bit, okay, all right, Jeremy Maclin.
Finding his bearings, finding his legs, as it were.
Yep. This is an offense that is a bit of an anomaly.
It is.
To everybody. When you sit back and you go, look at this fast pace that they've got. Look at this. Isn't this innovative? And yet, at the end of the day, you sit back and go, how the hell did they win that game?
It's the little things they mess up. It's some of the little things. And I mentioned Josh Huff, rookie wide receivers, young wide receivers. You know, they're playing tip drill when the ball is thrown to them. Little things like that. Going back to when Foles was here throughout the first half of the season, throwing off the back foot. Stupid penalties. Stupid penalties. On the right side of the offensive line, Lane Johnson, my goodness, if I saw him get called for one more false start, I was going to flip my ever-loving lid.
I hear you.
It was just bad. It's just bad football. Speaking of the offensive line, Todd Harriman's earlier today, his season is over. Not just the bicep injury, but the ankle now, a little bit of a problem as well. He's going to have surgery, which he should have had last week. I got to be brutally honest, but I think the reason why he tried to hold on for one more week is the other part of the news: Evan Mathis is returning.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, 4/5 of last year's offensive line, which was one of the best in football last year, is back in place. That also adds fuel to the fire for the running backs getting more of a call of the ball and being able to run roughshod on opposing defenses when you have 4/5 of that stout offensive line from last year back in place.
Well, and there's no doubt about it that, in fact, you're absolutely right, and you hit it right on the head, and there was rumor of it last week. Todd Harriman's would have gone for that surgery last week. He probably should not have played that game against Houston. He has no idea how much of a career he was actually risking doing that. But the fact he did goes right to the whole concept that I'll hang in for 1 week. Look, it's against Houston. Look, I know I'm going to be, I know I'm going to have J.J. Watt coming at me, but I got to do this. This is what we got to do. And that'll give us time for Mathis to come back. And that's exactly what it was all about.
He put the team ahead of himself, and I got to give him props there, I guess, ultimately. One other person we have to talk about, probably the biggest name to go down from last week, D'Amico Ryans, who is, I think, you remember all those years when Brian Dawkins was the foundation of the Eagles' defense. D'Amico Ryans has stepped up in his since Dawkins has retired and really has lit a fire under the Philadelphia defense. In fact, Coach Chip Kelly, after the game about the loss of D'Amico Ryans, said, quote, he's our leader, our Mufasa. When a warrior goes down, you pick up a shield and play in honor of him. So They're playing now in honor of their Mufasa. Okay, enough of that. We'll get hit with copyright infringement. Thank you very much. So, yes, Mufasa lives forever. But seriously, D'Amico Ryan's absence to a defense that is Jekyll and Hyde. And, you know, you'll see the good side. Probably, I would say, the front seven has been pretty solid this season. And, of course, the Hyde aspect, the secondary gets beat like, you know, rented mules on a given week, beat badly, looking at you, Nate Allen, in 2 weeks ago and what have you. So the loss of D'Amico Ryans, how does this impact the Philadelphia defense going forward? Because they're going to end up having Emmanuel Acho and Casey Matthews fill in rotation. I know those names just conjure wonderful thoughts in your mind.
Well, and what did I hear today? And maybe you can help me out here, Jim, because I know you guys over there at Warnest, you've got all the inside. But am I hearing that Matthews is going to be calling the plays on the defensive side of the ball?
I believe not. It's possible.
I think that's what I actually heard, that that's how that's going to go. That you're going to see a heavy, heavy dose of Matthews, and that, you know, Acho maybe not as much so.
Here and there,
it's going to be a spot fill. But that,
they're going to rotate it back and forth. In fact, Bill Davis, defensive coordinator, at his press conference Wednesday, saying that he has tons of confidence in Casey Matthews and Acho. They have 2 years, tons of playing time to fall back on. Has he been watching the same defense that we've been watching, though? That's the question. And we'll kind of answer that question for him in a minute or two when we give out our midseason report card grades.
Apparently, part of the this was addressed by some of the defensive coaches. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, it was addressed kind of, surreptitiously. Nobody actually came out and made an announcement about it, per se. But that the thinking was that while Michael Kendricks probably would be more suitable to be calling the defensive, making the defensive calls, they did not want to bog him down with that because they have a bigger role for him to be playing back there, and they don't want him getting all tangled up and having to do that. So the thinking was they would give it to essentially a secretary in the form
The Eagles now have a cabinet, ladies and gentlemen. The Secretary of Defense.
In the form of Casey Matthews, that he will be the one that will be relaying the defensive numbers over to it and not having to, Michael Kendricks get bogged down in the office minutia.
I thought election day was yesterday. Wow.
But no, I mean, seriously, yeah. That's apparently the case, is that they think too highly of Kendricks to get him involved in actually having to have that extra responsibility. They want him focused on what his job is and not having to do that. Here, Casey, we'll give you this job. You call the numbers.
Something I thought that was interesting that was said in Bill Davis's press conference earlier today, he likened the D'Amico Ryans loss to some degree in terms of how to fill the void, akin to when Kendricks went down, saying that both Acho and Matthews can rotate in because it's essentially the same position. That seemed like a lot of coach speak to me. Do you buy what Bill Davis is preaching?
Well, yeah, tough to say. I don't know. I mean, I don't have any reason to doubt him. I think, you know, when we get into our, as you say, as we get into our midseason report card, I plan on giving the defense a pretty high grade, and that's going to be because of him. So I don't have any reason to necessarily doubt him on what he's saying. I guess maybe I'm not sitting back and second guessing.
I understand. Fair enough. If you have your thoughts on Mufasa going down. All right, that's enough of that. Hey, Michael Leister, come at me, bro. Oh, wait, he's not in charge of Disney anymore. Who cares? I'm not going to be on ESPN anytime soon. Give us a call, 347-826-9964, and talk about the Lion King. No, talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Talk about the injury to D'Amico Ryans and its impact on the team. And we're about to give out our report card grades. If you have an overall grade for what you think the 6-2 Eagles are after 8 games, let us know in the chat room. Call us on Skype. Call us at 347-826-9964. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your input. It would be a good thing, a valuable thing, dare I say. So let's not put it off any longer. Let's get into it. Report card grades, we've divided it up to five different categories, I believe we have. Yeah.
Offense, defense, special teams, coaching. What was the fifth?
The overall grade for the team.
Okay.
So let's start with offense. We've talked about the pros and cons of Nick Foles through eight games, and now you have to factor in what the Sanchez will do. Your midterm grade on the Philadelphia Eagles offense.
Now, are we doing pluses, minuses? Can we do pluses, minuses?
Yes. Okay. Talking to a teacher, he knows about red ink, ladies and gentlemen. He's got red Sharpies out the wazoo for this.
You can have
pluses, minuses, but just don't give me a grade point average because we're not about decimals or fractions here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I was going to do that real quick, but that's okay. All right.
Stop the page. Just give me a grade, damn it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're having some fun here tonight. All right. Look, I just pointed out one great stat. The Eagles lead the NFC in touchdowns and in point differential. All right? So one would think you have to give the Eagles offense a high grade. I'm giving them a B-. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give them a B- because I've not been impressed with Nick Foles. All right? There have been a couple of play calls I really have sat back at different times and questioned, which are coming in from the sideline. Now I'm sitting there scratching my head going, really? Third and long, and we're still running the ball? What in the world? I've not been impressed with LeSean McCoy until recently. You can't complain about Darren Sproles. As I pointed out before, it seemed to take Jeremy Maclin a number of weeks to find his way. We talked about that earlier. Riley Cooper, I wish he'd find his way out of town personally. But he hasn't done that yet either. I got to give it a B-, Jim. I'm serious. I'm expecting this team to blow somebody out, as I pointed out earlier. And again, with the exception of the Giants, I haven't seen it.
You read my mind completely. B- is the exact grade I was going to go with as well. Yes, I plan to have pluses and minuses too. But no, I mean, the running game, I'll put you this way. Until Backlund's emergence the last 2 to 3 weeks, the MVP of this team on offense was actually, in my humble opinion, Darren Sproles. Because without Darren Sproles, we're a 500 team, if not worse. Because of those big plays he rattled off over the first couple of weeks of the season, he's been utilized excellently. Nick Foles, he is Jekyll and Hyde. When he was good, he was great. When he was bad, he was awful. The offensive line, you have to give it incomplete to a certain degree because we've had more bubblegum and duct tape on the offensive line than the double bubble company has had in their existence. So we're now getting a healthy offensive line. You'll be able to see what they can do. And again, like I said earlier in the show, it's going to help the running game. It's going to help protect Mark Sanchez, and we're going to be in a better position. I give them a B- as well. Let's go over to the defense. Start it off on defense, Mike.
Well, there now, I'm going to give it a B again, but this time now it's going to be a B+. Look, the secondary we've talked about, we knew that coming into the season that the secondary was going to be an issue, and it has been. But when it comes right down to it, it hasn't been as big an issue yet as perhaps it could have been. Now, as we go through the second half of the season, hopefully I'm not eating my words come the end of December, as we go against teams like, as we pointed out, the Packers and the Cowboys and the Seahawks. Hopefully that's not the case. I think that the secondary could have been worse than what we have seen up to this point. I like what I have seen from this defensive core. Again, as we saw, almost starting from about midseason last year, they started to come into their own, and I think they've continued to mature. They've had to overcome some obstacles. They're going to have to overcome a big one now without Ryan's. And I'm going to tell you, I have to give them a B+.
By the way, I want to give credit in the chat room. Brandon Hain asking a great question. Who will the team miss more, Foles on offense or Ryan's on defense? I responded in the chat room, I think it's Ryan's on defense by far and away, simply from a pure leadership standpoint. Nick Foles does not evoke the concept of team leader. He does not. He's a capable quarterback, at times a very, very good quarterback, but he is not a leader. Ryan's is the leader on defense, might be the leader on the whole team when you really get right down to it. So losing it for just from that standpoint is a crushing blow, and he was arguably the best player on defense for this team for much of the first half of the season. Losing to Miko Ryan's takes something away a little bit from the Eagles' defense going forward, but you want me to grade on the midterm here. I'm harsher. I'm a bit harsher. I was debating C-, but I'm going to go up to a C. I'm going to give them a flat C because the secondary does not impress me. In the last couple of weeks, they've contained opposing wide receivers relatively decently, but again, the strength of opposition really doesn't tell the full story. You go back to that Arizona game, a game that very easily could have been won, and again, Nate Allen's big blown play, blown coverage lingers and looms large in my mind. The front seven has played well. I think they've played B+ caliber. The secondary, give or take, is a D, I really think, or maybe a D+ if I wanted to be nice and great on a curve. So I'm going with a C straight up for the defense. There's definitely some room for improvement, in my humble opinion. The secondary just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, they get maybe I'm just micromanaging when I'm grinning out the red Sharpie here, but the blown coverage, the blown plays, especially except for the last week or so, seemingly every time the Eagles scored a touchdown, the very next series, the opposing team would march down the field and score a touchdown as well. You can't do that. You just can't afford to get into those yo-yo kind of games where it's back and forth and it's Katie bar the door offensively. Defense has to give an offense that takes a lot of, rather no time at all, seemingly, to go down the fourth. They need to give them a little bit of a rest here and there. So I give them a C. Maybe I'm a little too mean. I don't know. But
FYI, Ryan's, as you point out, leads the entire team defensively in tackles. Far and away leads the team. So,
and that's going to be missed. And that's another thing. How many times have we seen Eagles, primarily the secondary, get out run on plays? Yards after catch for the opposition has got to be incredible. And missed tackles. It usually takes three or four guys to tackle somebody instead of one or two. Because there's not a lot of size there outside of the front four and maybe one or two of the linebackers. So I'm going to see. They're average. They're average to me. But I'll tell you something that's going to be above average for both of us, and if it is, and something seriously wrong with one of us, let's talk about special teams. In my opinion, I'm just going to give you my grade right now. It's a solid A. Special teams has come up aces. When you have multiple punt blocks and returns for touchdowns, you're doing something right. And, you know, Alex Henry, when he was it's the old saying, you don't want to be the guy that replaces the legend. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaced the legend. That's what Cody Parkey has done. If he isn't on his way to the Pro Bowl, something's wrong, because he has had a fantastic rookie season this year. I mean, he's only missed, I believe, one field goal all season. What was that?
Three, I believe. But they were all 50-plus. They were all 50-plus.
Yeah, but he can nail from 50, 55, too, by the same token. So he is as reliable as the team has had since David Akers. I give this team, the special teams unit, an A. What do you think?
Oh, hold on. Let me just check this. I just want to see. I just want to make sure my numbers are correct on that. Maybe
you're a stickler. You're a stickler for statistics and numbers, and I appreciate
five,
that.
Five, six. Okay, I'm
He's getting the abacus out.
I'm wrong. You're absolutely right. He's only missed one. He's only missed one field goal, and that was a missed attempt between 30 and 39 yards.
Right, and that was the outlier, and everybody has one of those once in a while. The pressure gets to you. But he's money from 50-plus. He's money from 50-plus.
Oh, 50-plus, he has made all three of them, correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I give the special teams as a whole an A, and what do you say?
Absolutely, you got to give it an A. I'm not giving it an A+. I'm going to give it an A. But refresh my memory. The game where the special teams just went completely off. we had a blocked punt. We had a blocked punt, I think, for a touchdown. We had a kick we had a kick return. That was the one I think that Darren Sproles brought back. I mean, it was just, yeah. I mean, those are the kinds of things that lay inside your head there, and you think to yourself, yeah, bring that's just incredible. So, yeah. Yeah, you got to give that an A.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we're in full agreement there, and that's a good thing, Smirk. Let's go to. You know what? Before we go anywhere else, we have somebody on the line from the 856. I believe I know who this is, in fact.
All right. There you go.
Let's go to the 856. You're on Inside the War Nest.
How you doing there, Jimmy? It's Sandy Reid.
Uh-oh.
Former coach of the Eagles.
All the way from Kansas City? All the way from Kansas City, huh?
How's that Kansas City Masterpiece Barbecue?
Well, listen, I do enjoy the barbecue, and I do want to cut back. I am all the money I spend on barbecue, I'm barely able to pay Doug Peterson to tell Alex Smith to hand the ball off.
Andy, you sound like you got a really, really bad cold. I'm not sure.
I think he ate a baby back rib.
Yeah, he swallowed it whole.
I got to do a better job of chewing properly.
Yeah, really.
Although I've had this cold since about 1986.
Okay.
it was the tail end of my Mormon mission. I was speaking before a group of fellow Mormons. I was telling them that when second to one, you need to pass the ball 3 times in a row.
we know that.
Post nasal drip, ladies and gentlemen, that happens.
Oh my goodness!
Is this Justin Henry by chance?
It might be.
Ah, the curator of WarNest.com, Justin Henry, joining us. Well, he's a master of many trades, jack of none. welcome. Welcome, good sir.
How you doing there, Jimmy? How you doing, Mike? Thank you for having me on.
Very good. This has been a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah, we're giving out our grades here, and we invite you as well to do so. 347-826-9964 for the Eagles. We already went through the offense, the defense, and the special teams. Let's just get your grades on those. Through the midterm here, mid-season. I'm talking politics here. This isn't good. What would you grade the offense? What would you grade the defense? What would you grade the special teams?
Well, if you're going by the overall units for offense, I'd probably go toward a C+, B-. They are putting up points, but they are committing way too many turnovers. I do theorize, however, and this is going to be a weird sentence coming out of my mouth, that we're going to have less turnovers with Mark Sanchez in there than we did Nick Foles.
What? Yeah, I know.
You heard me.
I heard you. You're live on the big-time broadcast. I hear you.
Well, my theory for all those Foles turnovers, why they're in such abundance this year, he's been so afraid to take sacks. He's had that shoulder injury, I think, since at least that Redskins game. So rather than take that shot, all that pressure that comes from the left side with Matt Tobin not being one of the better pass blockers, he's a good run blocker, but not necessarily a pass blocker.
Mm-hmm.
All that pressure coming in, Foles on his back foot, throwing all those wobbly passes, throwing way short of Macklin or Cooper or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
He needs time to rest. And he's tried to gut it out. Maybe it wasn't broken after the Chris Baker hit. But Sanchez, he's pristine. He's 100%. All he has to do is just be like Alex Smith and just run the offense. Make little throws here and there. Go over the top to Macklin when he has to. He has the best running back trio in football right now. He has them at his disposal. You can't screw that up, especially against a Carolina Panthers team that has one of the worst run defenses in football.
Yep.
So for defense, that's kind of a mixed bag also. I'm going to go a solid B. The pass rush is there. The run stopping is there. But what keeps them from an A, too many big plays given up, i.e. Nate Allen and Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher making too many mistakes over the top. Other than that, this is the best defense since the Jim Johnson era. And in some cases, I think it's even better than Jim Johnson's defense.
Really?
And I'll tell you what.
Wow.
I'll tell you why. Because Jim Johnson's defense wasn't really a good run defense other than Darwin and Simon. Our linebackers were not good run stoppers. Darn Walker, Corey Simon, Mike Patterson, when he came in, all effective in the run, but it was all predicated on the blitz schemes.
I was going to say, it was blitz, Justin. That's where they covered it up. You don't see this scheme blitzing at all.
Once in a while, you'll see Nate Allen flying on a safety linebacker stunt, but that's once in a while. But for just a consistent defense that gets the job done, when they press very well on the outside. And I'll tell you what, I'll make an even bolder statement, if I may. Mm-hmm. We're actually, I want to say benefit, but we're going to be just fine without D'Amico Ryans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why that is. That Giants game, he didn't play that many snaps, I don't think. A lot of that was Brandon Boykin playing underneath in the slot corner role, taking away the middle of the field. That's why Eli Manning's whole game predicated on those quick throws. But having Boykin in there, that's what spooked him, made him hold the ball a second or two longer. That's where those sacks piled up. So the pass rush is going to benefit from having Boykin in there more than I think having D'Amico Ryans in there. Mm-hmm. Our run defense is going to regress a little bit because Casey Matthews and Emmanuel Acho are not D'Amico. I understand that. But D'Amico does not decimate the defense by being out.
Right.
Matthews in his own right is a fine pass rusher. Not tremendous, mm-hmm. but he's serviceable. If he's your fourth best linebacker, it's not the end of the world.
What about the special teams? Yeah.
That's an A+. Mm. We more than upgraded over Alex Henry with mm-hmm. Cody Parkey. We still have Donnie Jones. Our coverage unit is one of the best in football with Chris Maragos, Brian Braman,
yep.
Trey Burton, James Casey. I mean, this is the cream of the crop. It was never this good with John Harbaugh as our special teams coach.
Mm-hmm.
It damn sure wasn't this good with Roy Segrest or Bobby April either. Dave Fitz, cream of the crop. He's built one hell of a unit.
Okay, so you we went B- both on the offenses, Mike and I. Mike, you gave a B, I believe, on defense.
B+.
I gave a C because I'm a stickler on those blown plays. Those just loom large in my mind, although the front seven, I think, has played pretty decently. And you're absolutely mm-hmm. right about the run defense. And we both gave solid A's for the special teams. Let's move on to coaching. And this is all-encompassing coaching here. Mike McShane, you lead off.
Well, I'm giving it a B, not a B-, not a B+. I'm going to give it a B. There have been times that I have sat back and I have really questioned some of the plays that have come in off of the sideline. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not as, you know, again, this is such a weird thing to say because, as I pointed out, this is an offensive team that is leading the NFC, and yet I've not been as impressed with this team overall as I was even last season. And yet, I think personnel-wise, this is a better team personnel-wise than the one from last year. But I got to give the coaching a B because there have been just too many, I don't want to say boneheaded because that would describe the era of the guy we were just talking to from Kansas City at times. So I'm not gonna.
Oh, he's back on the line.
I'm not going to describe it as bonehead. But there have been times I sit there scratching my head going, Chip, you're not in Oregon anymore.
Hmm.
Well, for coaching, I'm going to go A- because I can't really blame those turnovers on Chip Kelly or Pat Shurmur. I think the offense is fine the way it is. It's just a matter of having a quarterback that knows he can take a sack and it won't be the end of the world. And I think that was Foles' problem for the last month and a half, is that he just didn't want to take those shots. But coaching, I don't mind the play calling. The one argument I have about offense is they don't use Darren Sproles enough.
I would agree.
That's just the one thing. I mean, you have Shady, and make no mistake, he's one of the best running backs in football, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting back to that level. He's averaging 5.3 yards a carry the last three games.
Right.
So, but they are working Chris Polk in a lot more. I do appreciate that. Polk reminds me in a lot of ways of Deuce Staley, just that pure power back that has that initial burst of speed, just plows right through. That one touchdown drive Sunday where it was four running plays, Shady, Shady, Polk, Polk. I mean, that was just a thing of beauty. And you saw how tired that defense was. You saw how tired J.J. Watt was. He had to come off for a few plays. just totally gassed against this offense. So I don't think there's any problem with the way Chip runs the game up-tempo. It's just every now and then personnel I kind of question. But
yeah,
there's an old saying from Gilbert creator Scott Adams once said, "If a genius does something that I don't understand, why do I think he's wrong?"
Yeah. referencing Dilbert on the big show. That's very nice.
Let me throw something out here to both you gentlemen, because there's something I want to tie in with something I saw in last night's game and something I've been seeing from Indianapolis for the past couple. And that is the reemergence of the fullback, or at least the concept of it, by re-energizing or reintroducing the split running back scheme. He ran it a lot last night, Chuck Pagano did. He's indicated that, yeah, I'm going to run it as an I. Sometimes I'm going to run it as a split I. And that is Trent Richardson and who's my other buddy over
Bradshaw.
There?
Bradshaw.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm on Bradshaw. All right. Now, we have talked a lot here at the Frat House and at Frat House Sports about the fact that the fullback was a position that seemingly completely disappeared, oh, it seems to me, about, a good 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Could we be seeing a reemergence of that, and could, in fact, Chip Kelly be part of it by introducing Polk in the manner that he is?
Well, I would have to say no on that, because it was Chip Kelly's decision last year to get rid of Stanley Havili, who is the one that went to Indianapolis, because Chip does not run a fullback scheme in his offense. Once in a while, he'll use James Casey or Trey Burton or whoever as the extra blocker, but to him, it's not vital. And that's why him and Howie traded Havili for whatever the draft pick was. I can't remember now. But you will see fullbacks come back on a per-case basis. Any team that thinks they need one will try it. I mean, it's why the Wildcat came back in vogue a little bit. There's when something goes away, a team will reintroduce something just to try and throw everybody else off because nobody's prepared for it. So I don't think Chip's going to bring the fullback back, at least not in the next 10 years or 15 years.
No.
But
we
have Chris Polk. That's our power back.
He's your third down guy. He's your goal line back, perhaps, yeah.
And if he gets hurt, you also have Matthew Tucker on the practice squad, who everybody loved over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reasons.
Oh, absolutely. Special teams coaching, I'm gonna give quickly here. Gonna give it a B. I question again some of the play calling in short yardage and red zone situations because the Eagles' red zone offense leaves something to be desired. But on the whole, I'm more pleased than displeased. Quickly, overall grade on the Eagles at 6-2. Overall as a team, A, B, C, D, F, pluses or minuses, Justin Henry.
At 6-2, you can't really complain much. They were basically a yard away from being 7-1 against the 49ers and a touchdown away from being 8-0 against the Cardinals. So I'm going to go A-.
Interesting. I did the GPA on it, by the way.
Here we go. Stop the pain.
No, I'm going to give it a. I'm going to give it a B. You know, leaning towards a B+. It came out to an 82.5.
So you obviously curved up a little bit to 85. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so I'll take it. I'll take it up to an 85, and then you can go like you can say, well, okay, A, B, B plus. You know, B plus.
B is the grade for me. B is the grade for me because just as easily as they could be 7-1 or 8-0, they could also be 3-5, 4-4 right now. So. I'm going to give him a solid B. So those are our grades. What are yours? Let us know in the WarrenS.com forums. Click the forums link on WarrenS.com. By the way, you'll want to sign up for a membership because, believe it or not, tickets are available for the rest of the Eagles games this season, home and away. And if you sign up for a membership at Scout.com through WarrenS.com, you will save 10% on Eagles tickets the rest of this season. So go to Scout.com. Click the little free membership trial thing. It's a 7-day free trial, and then join on in, and you can get tickets for 10% off. Hey, look at it that way. Put it towards the concessions or parking, and then boom, thank us later.
I was going to say, can you imagine being at that December 14, the last home game against the Cowboys? Ooh.
Oh, my. That is going to be fun stuff.
Which, let's say the Eagles win out up until that point. There's a good chance that game could be for the division title.
Yep.
Very easily. Very easily. And imagine if it gets wintry outside. Ooh, that could be even more fun.
Oh, that could be fun. And that's a Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's 8:30.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
Sunday
sir.
Night, 8:30 on NBC. And we all know how LeSean McCoy does when it snows.
Yep. Oh, you know it. He is a snow beast. He is a snowmobile is what he is.
He saw that nonsense going up there in Gillette last week, and he said, why couldn't that be here?
Exactly. We got to quickly talk about – go ahead, Justin, quickly.
I was going to say, somebody once said, Jesus walks on water, Shady runs on snow.
There you go. He plows through it. About 4 minutes left in the program, we have to quickly talk about the game against Carolina Monday night. Mike, Cam Newton on offense, you have a nickname for him. Please tell it to us and why.
God. What? I'm trying to remember. What the heck? What is it?
My little brother's favorite snack. Yes.
Cam Fig Newton. Yes, you got it. This guy, listen, have you noticed he's all wrapped up out there? He's got stuff all around the side. It looks like the caking on a
like
fig
the
Newton.
Fig tree or the
but
fig
if you
tree
hit him hard enough,
him.
Guess what? He gets hurt. Listen, you know, you brought it up earlier, Jim. You said it earlier. There is one person on the Carolina Panthers. Well, there's two if you want to throw Luke Kuechly in there, who leads the league right now in tackles. But I don't see anything from this team. When I do a matchup, stat to stat, this is the Eagles, and that's why they're favored by 6.
Yeah, this Carolina team, Justin, in the NFC South is the epitome of what the NFC South is, a cluster bleep, because nobody wants to take control, not even the Saints, really, Justin.
Well, I just want to piggyback Mike's point there when he said that if he leads the NFC in tackles, there's a reason for that. It's because the rest of the defense is so worthless.
Yep.
It's the worst run defense in football.
Yep.
They have a decent pass rush, but nobody's really stepped up to Greg Hardy's, you know, game-changing third-down play type of mode there, you know, the Kraken, as they call him, or as he calls himself. Their pass defense is god-awful. They're allowing about 70% completions. If Kuechly or Thomas Davis can't make the play initially, then they're screwed. They're absolutely screwed.
You would have to think we're going to be seeing a big, big day from the on the ground from the Eagles. 31st against the rush. So.
I agree.
About 4.8 yards of carry allowed. With Evan Mathis back, you're going to see a lot of Shady.
And that's only going to benefit the whole plan for, you know, what we heard from Ron Jaworski and others that, hey, keep it simple, stupid. Sanchez, run the ball.
Yeah.
Run early. Then set up the pass because Sanchez can hit Macklin.
Well, very quickly, because we have 2 minutes left, Justin, known for his impression. Since this is a Monday night game, let's ask John Gruden for a quick 30-second key to this victory for Philadelphia. Mr. Gruden.
I'll tell you what there, Jimmy. I'm all kicked up right now over the fact that my brother was able to beat the Dallas Cowboys right there in AT&T Stadium. I mean, everyone beat the Cowboys these days. But I'll tell you what, these guys, they shut down DeMarco Murray. I taught my brother the entire game plan, you know. I'll tell you what, Mike. I really like Philadelphia's chances in this one because big Evan Mathis back. I call him the Rage because he's a big guy. He's got fiery hair. He's very angry. That guy on Instagram messed up his stats. That he said he's the bad guard. So I don't bad this year. He's been out the whole season, so this guy's an idiot. I'll tell you what.
Oh, my. You almost ventured into John Madden territory there a little bit, sir. I tell you. Wow. But quick prediction. Quick predictions. Mike, obviously, Philadelphia, you think, is going to win comfortably?
Well, they're going to win. I don't know how comfortable it's going to be. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll take the line. I'm going to say it's spread. They'll win by 6. I might have to take a push on it. They might. It could be 5. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's going to be closer than most people think.
Justin? Okay, Justin, quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
State in the game, 30-13, Philadelphia.
I'm in line with you. I think this is the blowout, the second blowout of the season. I think the Eagles win by at least 2.5 touchdowns.
I hope so.
Justin, thank you for joining us. Check out his piece on warnest.com, all his pieces, but he'll have our Behind Enemy Lines thing coming up later this week with the folks from CarolinaScout.com site. Mike, as always, thank you as well.
You got it.
And thank you all for listening in. We're back next Wednesday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. To Hawaiian or something. inside the War Nest, We'll hopefully be talking about a Philadelphia victory and preview, oh, what lies ahead. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in 7 days. So long, everybody. Go Eagles!